Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Praise the Lord. You excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen.
We're doing a new sermon. It's entitled The Gratitude Project, and it's a big series that we're doing, and I'm excited to be the first one to share this wonderful message. It's so good to hear Pastor Fred's voice. Amen? I know he's still on sabbatical leave, but we're going to hear him next month and the following months. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you have your bulletins with you, I'd like us to just concentrate now as we break the bread together today. In Luke chapter 17, we will find a story of the 10 lepers. And somehow this story intrigued me. Let's read that. It says, the lepers went towards the temple, and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, for he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, we're not all cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to this man, rise up and go, and your faith has made you well. It is important to note that in verse 14, the lepers were already cleansed. Now, why did Jesus have to repeat in verse 19 that your faith has made you well? That really intrigued me. And I agree somehow with what Desmond Tutu said, an Anglican pastor who was a Nobel Prize winner in the 1980s. And this is what he said, and I quote, I have thought that perhaps the gospel story points to a deeper sickness than leprosy, and that is the illness of ingratitude. He said to be unthankful, to be ungrateful, in fact, is a very serious illness. End of quote. In fact, in verse 14, I did more study, and the Greek word for cleanse is the word katartizo, and this is where we get the word catharsis. And if you're familiar with that word, it means a transformation. And so for all the lepers, the strange skin nodules, the open sores, the fluids that were oozing out, that covered their body, went through a complete catharsis. They were transformed, and they had new skin. However, Jesus did not repeat that same word to the one who came back. He did not use the word katartizo or transformation. When he said the words, your faith has made you well, he used another Greek word, which means sozo. And this is where we get the word salvation. So Jesus was healing this man from a much deeper illness. And that is not just leprosy, but the leprosy of the soul, the leprosy of ingratitude. Although the other nine was cleansed, only this grateful leper was completely healed in mind, in body, and in spirit. Charisma Life, we also need to be healed, not just from the disease of the greater illness of ingratitude. This whole month of November, we are going to do a series called The Gratitude Project. It is a project because instead of listening, we will be demonstrating different principles of how we can be grateful to God. That is why it is a project, an individual project, a family project. We will all collaborate together and how this will change us and change the people around us. So in opposite, what would be a good example that will illustrate the spirit of gratitude? And this is where we will find Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. The story of the poor widow who leads us and somehow captures what it is to be grateful to God. Let's all stand again and let's open our Bibles. And the Bible tells us in these four verses a very powerful story of how we can all be grateful to God. The Bible says Jesus sat down at the opposite place of the temple court where the offerings were put, and he was watching while the crowd were putting their money in the temple treasury. Many rich people came in with large amounts of money. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more in the treasury compared to all the others, because they all gave out of their wealth, but this woman gave out of her poverty and putting everything, all she had to live on." Father, we thank you this morning. Heal us, Lord, from the sickness of ingratitude. And as we begin, as we commence this gratitude project, I pray that we will learn the principle from this wonderful woman who changed, Lord, the worldview of many people. May it change us and the people around us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Before you go back to your seats, since this is the month of gratefulness, I'd like us to go around. Tell person thank you in your native language, okay? Salamat, gracias, danke, merci. Okay, come on, go around. Praise God. Get your bulletins again and let's learn three principles from this beautiful story. The first thing that we will learn is that Jesus examines our giving. We will find here in verse 41 to 42 how Jesus was sitting at the temple gate opposite where people were dropping their money, and Jesus examined the people. First, he examined the givers. We will find that in verse 41 that Jesus was examining while people were dropping their offerings. Here we find that he was watching, observing people from all walks, from all status, from all background, career, positions, degree, dispositions, and personalities in life. In fact, the Greek word for watching is the word theroteo, meaning he was investigating, he was clearly observing, and another word also discerning all those who gave. So he was watching these people. In fact, we will already see three groups of people. First, he looked at the greater category. He looked at the crowds. And then he deducted from that big crowd two more categories, the rich and then the poor. He examined people from all walks of life. Maybe this was the day of Sabbath where people go and worship God. And he was looking at everyone who was dropping their offering. But not only he was examining the givers, he was also examining and observing what people gave. He was observing their gifts. Jesus looked at the amount and what they were dropping. The word of God says in verse 41, Jesus sat at the opposite side, a place where the offerings were being put. In fact, it took him a long time. So from standing, he started to sit down and watch, listen to this, while the crowd were putting their money into the temple treasury. So he was watching. He was examining. He was observing. The fact that Jesus sat down for some time and examined both the gifts and the giver tells us that he regards giving as something that is very important to us. Many times we think that God is only interested in spiritual matters and not when it comes to finances. But this is not the fact. What is true is that money is featured prominently in the teachings of Jesus. In the gospel, about 34 times it is mentioned in his stories, in his teachings, in his anecdotes, in his parables, all centered on finances. In fact, money is a key indicator of our faith, of our relationship, and our obedience to God. We often hear the adage that says numbers do not lie. Numbers reveal if a business has profits or they have loss, or if there is progress or there is regress. Some people might say, "I'm healthy." But until the numbers are revealed, it will tell you how healthy you are or unhealthy you are. Your weight, your heart rate, your sugar, your cholesterol, your dress sizes, all of them, okay, reveal the greater picture of your health status. This is why numbers for many of us are deeply personal. And sometimes we conceal it, we hide it, and it is a private matter. This is so important. That is why Jesus examined the givers and the gifts. Because money and finances reveal the bigger picture of our faith. Can I hear an amen? Our trust, our obedience, and our relationship with God. As Christians, we typically give back to God in three ways. First, we give to God through our time. And then we give to God our talents. That means our skills, you know, our ability. And lastly, we give to God our treasures, our money, our tithes, our offerings. However, for some people, they tend to elevate one category of giving and put the others, you know, at the bottom or secondary or even tertiary. I have discovered that there are four kinds of givers or four kinds of how people give back to God. The first kind is the treasure giver. Let me explain, and I believe we have that on our screen. This is the tithing Christian, the Christian who gives faithfully to the church through their money, through their tithes, through their offerings. They are the donors, the first one to give when there is a financial need. It is commendable that we should do this. However, they do not want to give more than that and to make their time and their talent a private matter. I remembered while I was an intern in Singapore, a lot of the members of this church were affluent Chinese businessmen and businesswomen. And the pastor told me how he did not have a lot of volunteers in his church and the struggle of having people. And this is what the rich Chinese people were telling him, "Pastor, I will give my tithe. Pastor, I will be there on Sunday morning, but please do not rock the boat." In other words, the treasure giver. You cannot count them to sing, to volunteer, to mentor young people and young adults. They don't have a burden to counsel the people who are brokenhearted. But when it comes to giving, they are there. It is the treasure giver. But then they make their talent and their time something that is just for personal and not for the church to see. I remember, well, my wife was a medical intern. She was assigned to this remote outreach in the province. And she was there, and she manned together with another doctor who was operating this some kind of a hospital to help the people who were poor. And lo and behold, there was this Italian. And because I will always be there to drive them from the morning until I would pick them up, two of them. And we see this man who was an Italian. And they were there for one quarter. And they treated a lot of people who needed medical attention. But this Italian was just there every single day when I would pick up, feeding the people and feeding my wife and her co-resident. At the end of that shift, 3 months later, she threw a little party with the best Italian food and eventually revealed his identity. We were all shocked that he was actually one of the best hand surgeons in Italy. And he's a professor, and in fact wrote 2 textbooks. And so we were wondering, why are you here? He said, "I'm here for 8 months, not just giving my talent to God, but also giving my time. Not only giving my treasure, but also giving my talent to God." Can I hear an amen? Amen. So some people, you know, that's what they do. You know, just write a check, give, you know, something for the church, but you cannot count on them on other things. Not their time, not their talent. Please do not rock the boat. The next category is the timely giver. These are the Christians who make use of their time by doing things for God. They serve the church generously. Oh, they study the Bible. They are prompt in volunteering to different ministries, not just one, but maybe two, three, four, five, even six. You can count on them on different departments. Somehow the church is like their second home. Amen? Although they have finances to give, this is the problem with this category. Money is a private matter and prefer non-cash services. Jesus corrected this kind of a giver. In fact, it is captured by the rich young ruler. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 21 to 22, he said to this young ruler, the young ruler said to Jesus, I have kept all, look at this, the things from my youth to this day. And looking at him, Jesus said, and felt love for him, and said to him, but one thing you lack, go, sell your possessions to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come follow me. Verse 22. After hearing these words, he was saddened. And he went away grieving because he owned so much treasure and property. This guy gave a lot to the church when it comes to time. But when it comes to tangible giving, he was saddened. Why? It was too much. He was there. Time was number one. But underneath that was the treasure that he was not willing to give. The third category is what I call the talented giver. Okay, this is one who makes use of their talent, their skills, their abilities. They can sing, they can do decorations in church, they can smile and be ushers. Okay, but when it comes to sacrificial giving, the talented giver holds back and responds this way: hey, I have already given my talents, my skills, and my abilities. I'm already in the worship team. I'm already an usher. I'm a life group leader. Isn't that enough? In fact, I can charge for talent fee, but I waive that. We do ministries like it is a tax write-off, excusing us from giving in a tangible way when it comes to finances. Can you hear an amen? The last category. It's very powerful because it captures the real giver that Jesus is teaching us. And I call this the total giver. The total giver is someone who gives everything to God. Treasure, the time, all the talents. Because to this person, every single one is interrelated. Listen to me. What we give is the sum of the time we spent with the talent God gave us to produce the treasure we can enjoy and also support the work of God. Can you hear amen? Amen. The woman's gift was the totality of the time, the talent, and the treasure that she gave. That is why the Bible says, it says she puts everything, all that she had to live on. Hallelujah. In fact, we can go even much deeper to the study of this passage. There is a direct contrast here. When Jesus mentioned about the rich people, the passage read this way. The rich gave out of their wealth. Okay? In the Greek language, there are two words for wealth. The first word is plosio. The other one is peresio. Very close. Plosio. The other one is perisio. The only difference is the prefix. Let me explain, because this is what Jesus used. Okay? They sound the same and almost define the same, because some Bibles actually translate them as wealth. Plosio means richness, wealth, the means to produce, and the resources. Say it with me, plosio. Okay, a rich man could be called plosio, okay? However, peresio is what Jesus used here. When he said that the rich gave out of their wealth, that is peresio. That is not plosio, a common wealth, general wealth, the produce, the means. But he used the word peresio. That is a very interesting Greek word, because peri comes from a prefix, which means around, perimeter, okay? Perikope, okay? Periscope, around. In other words, if there is wealth, these people have more wealth around them. Are you following me? In other words, what Jesus was saying is that these people were extremely what? Rich. In fact, some of the English translation rendered this in this way. Okay? One Bible translation is in the American Standard Version, actually calls superfluity. In other words, it was superfluous. Okay? Other Bible translation, wealth is translated as superabundance. And here's this word that is common to us, a surplus, an extra. In fact, for our Spanish brethren, I'm going to use a translation. And many of us who speak Tagalog could actually understand this a little bit. In Spanish, it says, porque todos han echado de lo que les sobra. More. So in other words, periseo means the leftover of all the wealth that they had. The surplus. It appeared good in amount, but actually it was the leftover, it was the remainder of the great wealth that they had. Are you following me? They were not giving what? Their everything. They were giving the what? The leftover. A portion of the great, super abundant blessing God gave them. It was not just their wealth. It was their super wealth. It appeared they were generous in public, but in private, they were not a total giver. Can you hear an amen? Amen. Charisma Life, let me ask you, what kind of giver are you? Are you a treasure giver? Are you a talent giver? Are you a time giver? Or are you a total giver? And this is what we find with this woman. That is why God is examining the kind of giver you are and the kind of gifts that you give. Not only that, the second principle tells us he did not excuse this woman from giving. This is even more powerful. Firstly, you will find that Jesus did not excuse the woman from giving despite her status. What was her status? She was a widow. There are social, there are cultural, there are legal implications for a widow in the Bible. Let me explain. Widows generally mean wives whose husbands have died, obviously. But if a widow has a son, the whole inheritance, the land, the house, the gold, the silver, the copper, the bronze is transferred to her sons. So not all widows are actually poor in the Bible. But there is a modifier to this widow description. The Bible says she was a poor widow. Let me explain. In the case where there are no children, the estate, the house, the land, the gold, all of the appliances, all of the furnitures are transferred to the husband's brothers. So much so that the woman has nothing to own. It's just the culture. That's what the legal demands were for that day. So this woman probably was in that category. Why? She did not have anything. Let me tell you what. And yet, Jesus did not excuse her from giving. She had nothing to rely on. She has no assets to liquefy. And yet, Jesus did not excuse her status from giving. Secondly, Jesus did not excuse this woman for giving despite her situation. We will look at how this woman was exposed to abject poverty. We know this because of the kind of coins that she gave at the temple treasury. In the days of Jesus, there were three categories of coins, three kinds of coins. The first one is what we call the drachma, the gold coins, high value. The second one is the denarius, the silver coins. And the last one, almost zero value, is what we call the lepton, the copper coins. And this is what we find. What this woman gave. 2 leptons, which is called a lepta, okay, in plural form. You know the worth of that? Charisma, listen to me. 1 lepton is equivalent to 6 minutes of labor. What she gave that day, and everything, was 12 minutes of labor. You talk about poverty? She was poor. She had nothing. Jesus could have stopped this woman from saying, "Hey, woman, I know your situation. I know you're a widow. I know your husband died." I mean, this woman probably was wearing a very old cloth. Her skin was exposed. She could no longer put cream on her face. She was 10 years older than her normal age. She was thin and scrappy. Jesus could have said, "Woman, I know you're a widow. I also see that you don't have a lot of money." And yet, Jesus did not excuse this woman from demonstrating what gratefulness is all about. Can you hear an amen? Jesus' heart is extremely sympathetic to the poor, to the widow, to the sick, to the hungry, and to the lost. But Jesus also realized that our status and our situation does not excuse us from being grateful and being thankful to God. Can you amen? People today make excuses. "I don't have money, so let others give. We barely have enough to make it every week, Pastor. So, you know, it's okay if I can get give a penny. I'm still a fresh grad, and I'm still paying student loans. You can't expect me to give. I have responsibilities. I am still a student. I am still a youth member, and I only have allowance. I have nothing much to give." Charisma, giving is not a need issue. It is not a percentage issue. It is an attitude issue. Can you hear an amen? Hallelujah. It is an attitude of gratitude. And this is what we find with this wonderful woman. Because all of us are ultimately dependent on God for our provision. Rich or in need, we depend on the same source of blessings. Can you hear an amen? And as the Lord is the source of all gifts, we have the opportunity to be grateful and to be thankful. And we also have the privilege to acknowledge what rightfully came from Him. And we can give it back to God. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I learned this in a very hard way. When I was a youth pastor, I brought a team of about 15 young women. Many of them were students. We were in a remote mountain village, and I'll never forget. It was a lesson I will still carry to this day. While we were preaching in this village, in the marketplace, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about 20, 30 people were gathering, and we were doing skits, and suddenly God moved in a very powerful way. While we were preaching, people were coming, 50, 60, 70. By the time it was already about 6 o'clock, about 200 people were gathered. About 150 people got saved that day. In fact, there's a church right now there in that place. Not just a church, in fact, a school. God moved in a very powerful way. And I'll never forget, right after, you know, we did all of the ministry, an old woman who was selling a basket that she put on her head like this. And then there was a manila paper full of sugar, you know, and all the oil stains from selling donut twisters. And at the bottom of that basket were all kinds of coins, and all of them were sold for that day. This woman was just a few hours of getting saved, put all of the coins in her hands, and said, "You can have all of this. I was so blessed." And I look at this woman.
I said, I can't. I'm a city boy. You need this money. He said, no, 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 please have it. I said, no, I can't. We argued back and forth, back and forth. And I won. I said, Nanay, we call her, meaning older woman. I said, I can't use this. And she kind of frowned. I returned home, and I told my mother this very powerful story. And I'll never forget, she looked at me in the eyes, Alan, the next time someone gives you, they're not giving to you. They are just following what God told them to do. Can I hear amen? It was not an excuse, amen? What she had was a generous heart for what God gave her. Can I hear amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And this is what we find with this wonderful story. Hallelujah. God did not stop her. Hallelujah. But God allowed her to demonstrate gratefulness to God. Last but not the least, God or Jesus exalts us when we are grateful to him through giving. Look at verse 43. Powerful, powerful. Remember, Jesus was in the opposite of the treasury box. While he was there, all sorts of people, the crowd, that's what the Bible says, a huge crowd, probably a couple hundred, maybe 500. Lots of people from all walks of life. Listen to what the verse says. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more in the treasury compared to the crowd who gave that day. Can I hear amen? What? Two lipta was what? Weighty in the eyes of God compared to the sum of what people gave that day. Wow. That is why Jesus exalted this woman for being grateful. Can you hear an amen? Amen? And that's what God promises to do in our lives. When we are faithful to him, God will exalt us. Let's land the plane. How do we apply this in our lives? Are you ready? Amen? Let's do some projects, okay? Number one, practice first fruits giving. What do we mean by that? Okay? The Word of God says in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 and 2, when you have entered the land the Lord God has given you, when you have entered the land called the United States of America, amen? Amen? When you have the job that God gave you, amen? When God has blessed you, when God has given you the resources, when God has given you the plosio, not only the plosio, but the peresio, can I hear amen? Give to God the what? The first fruits. The first one that God blessed you with, give it to him. That's what the Bible says. Can I hear amen? In other words, do not give him the what? The leftovers. First fruits. Maybe we can demonstrate this by really getting some real fruits, okay? First fruits. God bless you with a job. Give you an increase. Give you a promotion, amen? Hallelujah. From what? A minimum wage? Double the wage. All right. God promoted you to become a manager. More blessings, amen? You got married, double income, no kids, dink, all right? Single income, no kids, whoa, let's put it. All right, that's a lot of blessing. Right, can you say amen? Right? Wow. You drive a Tesla, woo. You carry a bag, coats, Louis Vuitton, all right? Branding. God blesses you. Said, Lord, thank you. But you have to pay the house, okay? You have to pay your Tesla. Your Ford truck, all right? You have to pay your utilities, all right? Your iPhone 11, all right? Your dress. the Coach bag, remember? And the Louis Vuitton, all right? And you want to go out, you know, that lobster buffet in Highland is just very good. First fruit, this belongs to God. But you know what? There's a sale going on. All right, right? It's so good. I can't deny, you know, I can't stop it. So what do? We what? Get that what belongs to God. It's good. Buy one, take one. There's a Friday sale coming up. It's November. Let's go to the mall. Kabazan. Ah. What happened to your first fruits? There's a reunion coming up. High school reunion. I need to go to the gym. I need to get a coach. Wow. When the offering is what? Past, this is what we give to God. Leftovers. Wow. How do we apply this? And that we complain to God. When God removes the house from us, the car from us, the health from us, it's because this is what we give to God. Can I amen? We need to be grateful. How? You know what? When God blesses you, give him the first fruits right away. Can I amen? There are people like that, real people, in real churches. They don't wait for Sunday morning. They go to the church and say, that's my first fruit to God. Can you hear an amen? Wow, powerful. And you see how God blessed them in a very powerful way. So practice. Maybe you're going to do that today. Don't give him the what? The leftovers. How many of you would like to eat this? Nah. You throw them away. First fruit means what? The biggest. Amen? The fattest. The best one. You give it to God. Number two, practice spirit-led giving. This is even more powerful, charisma. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 7. The Bible says, now friends, I want to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in churches in the Macedonian province. Fierce troubles came down on the people to these churches, pushing them to the very limit. And yet, they are exposed, and the exposure exposed their true colors. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. The pressure triggered something totally unexpected. The outpouring of pure and generous gifts. Paul said, I was there and saw it for myself. They gave offerings of whatever they could, far more than what they can afford. Hallelujah. In fact, pleading, he said, Paul, hallelujah. Corinthians was a richer church, but they were pleading. Can you imagine maybe a church that is persecuted in Syria, ravaged from the war, writing to Pastor Fred Mendoza, Pastor Fred, we heard about what you are doing. Can we be partners in what God is doing? Hello, can I hear an amen? That's spirit-led giving, I'm sorry. Meaning, you know, out of the abundance of their heart, they pleaded for the privilege of helping out for those who are poor. This was totally spontaneous, entirely out of their own idea, and caught us completely by surprise. What explains was this, that they have first given to God. That they said, God, you gave us so much. That's why we're able to give. Practice spirit-led giving. In other words, when the Spirit of God tells you to do, just do it. It has nothing to do with the amount. It's about what? You know, the conviction. A few weeks ago, this happened to me. I ministered a family who went through two deaths. The first death happened in September. She was about 37 years old. She died. People thought, you know, it was just an accident. It was just a hangover. 20 minutes later, she died. Before they could even summon the courage and the comfort, the other brother who was diagnosed earlier with cancer, 42 years old, died. I was there, ministered to his daughter, ministered to the family, ministered to them during the funeral service. Something came in the mail. When I opened it up, I thought it was just a thank you card. It was a very generous offering. Spirit-led giving. I told my wife, what do you think? No. And they were asking about what happened to that check. And I told them, we can't, and we will give it back to you because that's what God tells us to do. Forgot about that. Attended the second funeral. I could not believe, a few days later, God multiplied 5 times what I have given to this family. Can you hear an amen? And so you know what I did? Last Friday, I met a pastor and blessed him. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Spirit-led giving. Amen. Praise God. God, just out of the conviction, tells you. Sometimes you don't know God will bless you. It's just the joy of giving, helping. And yet out of that, God, what? Gives you more than what you have given. Last but not the least, practice sacrificial giving. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. Here's Christ, the example of what it means to give sacrificially. The Bible says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. Can you amen? Sacrificial giving. Giving everything. One day while I was a youth pastor, you know, a few months after receiving my full-time salary, a missionary from Australia came to our church. He was preaching and was talking about this tribe that he was reaching in the northern part of Mindanao, a very dangerous tribe. And he would go there. I could not imagine a white man going there. I would not even go there because, you know, it's a very dangerous group. You could actually have some rebels, and then you could also have some tribes. And yet he was talking about staying with these people. Right after the sermon, it was clear. God spoke to me, give everything you have in your pocket. This was a time that there was no ATM. That we were paid and everything is in cash for the month. It was clear. I took out my pocket. I said, Lord, I do have a little savings. But I took everything that I had sacrificially. I said, God, I'm going to give this to this missionary. Amazing. The joy. Just the obedience. I bless that wonderful missionary. 2 hours later, I was about to pick up my aunt. She said, Alan, I'm going to minister there. And I picked her up. And then dropped her in a hotel, and she said, the Lord told me to give you this. I said, wow. I opened it up. It was exactly the amount that I gave in that offering. Can you hear me, man? Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. So friends, Charisma Life, here's your project. You want to see how God is awesome the next few days? Amen. Let's do some gratitude projects. I'd like you to pick up your bulletin. We're going to do something really tangible. Amen. And after this, we will apply, in fact, some of the principles we learned today. Number one, apply the principle of sacrificial giving. It's entirely a privilege and opportunity for you to follow the teachings that we have learned today. Apply the principle of sacrificial giving. Maybe today, when we get the offering, God speaking upon your heart. Maybe you haven't tried tithing yet. Maybe some of you haven't done first fruits. That's what you're going to do today. Amen? Secondly, find a container and start collecting coins from every nook and corner of your house and from your car, under the mattress bed. Harvest all the coins that you can get, like the poor widow. Put it in a jar, maybe a Pringles can. The next three Sundays, we'll have a bin here, and then we will put it. We did this in my previous church. We were only about 100, 150. When we did it in a month, we were able to collect from the coins $600. Can an amen? We are six times bigger. Amen? I can't imagine. On the third Sunday of this month, we will announce to you how much we have collected from the coins from the lepta, and we're going to bless some people, some ministers. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Number three, write to a family member a note of thanks in a tangible way. Just write. Handwriting is better. Tell the person how you appreciated him or her. Amen. Number four, show an act of kindness to a complete stranger. How about that? Amen? Hallelujah. Maybe someone that you have met in a bus, someone you have met in a coffee shop. Just let God, convict you in spirit, led you to give something to God. Number five, donate clothes, shoes, other things, and give it to your local charity or to a homeless shelter. Can I hear amen? Amen. A few weeks ago, Pastor Fred was talking about a ministry that needs some donation. And we donated our car. It was a good car. And we gave it. Amen? I had 5 notes of thank you from that organization saying, you could have used this, but thank you. Can I hear amen? And I saw the tax write-off. It was really huge. Amen? Praise God. Can I hear amen? Now, I'm not going to tell you to donate your cars. That's not what I'm saying, okay? What I'm saying is this. Maybe you can look at your cabinet today. Maybe you have 10 Louis Vuitton. Maybe, one or maybe two. Amen? The ladies are, say amen. Can I hear amen? Number six, appreciate your neighbor in a tangible way. Amen? Give them a tray of adobo, all right? Pancit or tortilla with, taco, all right? And then, this is what I like, connect with someone you have not heard for a long time. Give them a call and appreciate them. This is your 7 days. Charisma, I am so blessed to be standing here because this is a very generous church. We have a senior pastor and a pastor's wife who demonstrate what generosity is all about, who gave their lives, their treasure, their time, and their talent. Can we give them a clap offering? Amen. Amen. But here's my challenge. When was the last time you had been really, really generous? Let's apply it. Amen? Hallelujah. First fruit giving, spirit-led giving, and sacrificial giving. Hallelujah. Let's worship God this morning. Amen.